If you have your Bible, I want to invite you to read along. Today I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And while you're turning, I wonder if you guys are like me. Oftentimes, I have trouble noticing things. My wife will say, "Did you see that dress, or did you see that color, or did you see this thing or that thing?" And I often am oblivious to some of those things. I notice sometimes when a piece of furniture has been moved, if I stub my toe on it in the middle of the night or something like that, but oftentimes it's hard to see things and to notice things. Some people are really good at that, and they can visualize the changes that take place. But anyway, I'm thinking today of what it means to see God and to notice the things that God is doing. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Peter writing to people who are struggling to see God or struggling to notice because of some of the trials they've gone through. And in verse 8 and 9, it says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Peter is commending those who believe in God even though they can't see him. In many ways, God is invisible. Someday we will see him face to face, and several scriptures tell us that. In John 17, Jesus is praying to the Heavenly Father, praying that God will bless those followers of his, those disciples of his. And so he says, "Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me." And so Jesus wants followers to someday see his glory. In 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face." And in the letter of 1 John, he writes this, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And then in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, it says, "The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their forehead." And so someday we'll see him face to face, and someday we'll be able to see somehow his glory and his revelation, but for the meantime, we don't. Jesus came as God in the flesh, God incarnated into flesh and blood. But then when he was crucified and he died and he rose again, the scripture says he ascended to heaven. And there he is in heaven with God. And he sent the Holy Spirit to be in our midst, in our world today, to hear prayers and to walk with us and guide us. But the Holy Spirit is not someone we can see as well. It's hard to see an invisible God, and we can see the effects of the wind, perhaps. We can see the effects of heat or light. We can see the things that happen that cause things to change. We can smell the aroma of cookies that are baking, or some of the things that maybe affect our ears as we hear. But an invisible God that we can't see or feel or smell or hear, sometimes it's hard to believe. If we don't see him, don't feel him, don't know he's there in some tangible way, then sometimes we doubt. And there are circumstances in our lives that cause us to doubt as well. Maybe the death of a loved one, or a natural disaster, a flood or a hurricane or a tornado or some of the wildfires, the injustices that people experience make us wonder sometimes, where is God when these things are happening? There was a little boy who was sent to bed one night, tucked in, and his father had him all tucked in, ready for bed. And then all of a sudden there was a lightning flash and a loud clap of thunder, and the little boy was afraid, and he yelled to his father, "Daddy, come in here." And Daddy said, "No, I'm not coming in there. I just tucked you in, but I'm afraid." Daddy said, "Well, Jesus is there with you. He'll keep you safe. He's right there with you." And the little boy, of course, said, "Well, Daddy, I know Jesus is here, but I want somebody with skin on. I want to be able to see and touch and feel." And we're that way. It's hard to believe sometimes without evidence, without some divine encounter, some powerful dream or something that really shakes us and makes us aware. We live in an amazing time, however, and sometimes I think we are oblivious to some of the things that happen. When I began ministry some 40 years ago and somebody was to have open heart surgery, it was actually open heart surgery. They cut the person open and they not only the skin but the breastbone, and they cut the valves and did a bypass, and they sewed all of that together, and then the person would stay in the hospital for 2 or 3 weeks before they'd send them home again. But nowadays they put a little tube in your arm and they go in there and they put a stent in there. They let you rest for a few hours and they send you home the same day. Now, is that a miracle or is that just an amazing thing? Somehow we are able to have church online. There was a time when just to call somebody on the phone was an amazing thing. Now we can be live or we can talk to people on the other side of the country face to face or on Skype. Cancer, diseases that once were terrifying are being cured. Vaccines are being developed, and we're continuing to pray that one for this coronavirus will come very soon. Some miracles are so common that we take them for granted. We don't often see God in them. Well, despite the difficulty, Peter commends those who are believing and living with joy and living with that inexpressible and glorious hope. They are living with joy and purpose. If you were here last week, I encourage you to live knowing that the resurrection has taken place, that Jesus is alive and that He's at work. I encourage us to remember that there's a purpose for us. Because He lives, He has given us a purpose and a hope for life. And Peter encourages us to be aware of a living Savior. Even though you do not see Him now, he says, you believe in Him and are filled with that inexpressible, glorious joy. And he's writing to people who have gone through some tough times. Sometimes, especially when it's tough, it's hard to recognize God's hand. The few verses before that, he's writing and he says, even though you're suffering grief and all kinds of trials, he says, these have come so that your faith of greater value, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved and genuine and resulting in praise and glory to God. Sometimes the trials and the suffering, the hardships, are to prove our faith, to make us stronger, to give us a chance to get stronger through those times. I wonder, have you seen God lately? We live in a world that's a mess. We live in a world that's been
challenged with a coronavirus. And so that pandemic has affected not only our own community and our own church, but our nation and our economy and all around the world. And things are so different. The last time I spent Easter Sunday at home, I don't know when that was, because it was so long ago I would have forgotten. Easter at home, holidays canceled, the sports tournaments and baseball and all of those things that we've come to love, and yet somehow we are afraid. The fear of all of those things abounding, and whether we go out or not, whether we wash our hands correctly, whether we wear the face mask and all of those things, those are all important things, and somehow we wonder, where's God in all of this? And then there's other things like violence and racism and injustices that are done and all over the world. And yes, there's injustice, there's racism. It's been a part of human nature from the very beginning, but I believe there's room for progress and growth and learning to love people for who they are. And passing laws might help, but then again, laws don't change people's hearts. The Spirit of God changes our hearts, and the anger and the hatred and the frustrations are there. And where is God? Have you seen Him lately? Have you seen God at work? I can't put skin on God today, but I do believe that there are ways that we can see Him. And maybe you can't see Him face to face yet, but like the breeze, though we can't see it, we see the leaves blowing, and we sometimes can see the clouds that are moving them, or that the breeze is moving along. Sometimes we can't see hot or cold, but we can see frost, and we can see snow, and we can see the effects of those things. And I'd like to suggest four ways at least that you can see God, or at least see God at work. And one of them would be an obvious answer to prayer. When you pray and you say, Lord, please turn the baby. That was one of my latest prayers. The baby little grandson, Milo Joseph. Milo was the president of Taylor University some generations back, and so there's a new Milo at Taylor University. But he was sideways, and the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck, and we prayed, Lord, get him to turn so that he could be born naturally, and the prayer was answered, and he was born a week ago today at 4:30 or so in the morning, and praise God for answers to prayer. One afternoon, Rinda and I were broken down outside Cincinnati, and our car was stuck there, and we had to get that home somehow. And when we talked to the mechanic the next day, he said the engine shot and it's not worth anything. And we had to decide, well, should we try to get it towed all the way from there, or maybe if we get part way, it won't cost as much to get it towed. And so we said, well, can we drive it? Well, you can see how far you get. And so we saw how far we could get. We prayed and got all the way home. And we praise God for answers to prayer. And sometimes you can see God in those answers, those direct answers. And how often do we forget? We pray for something, we ask God for some rain, and it rains, and then we forget to say thank you, God, or for the healing, or the strength, or the help, or the funds to come in, and He provides those, and then we forget to say thank you, God. We can see God in some of those obvious answers. And we can, second of all, see God in the unexpected indications, the unexpected blessings, the protection that we receive from harm. There have been times when I know just because I had to wait a little bit longer to get out in traffic, I wasn't involved in that accident. There are times that I saw God, or I felt God, turn my car all the way around in that snowy ditch and back out on the road going the same direction I was, and I thought, how did that happen? Or there are those times when God has said no. No, you can't have that. No, you can't do that. And as a result, life was better for me. Things were better than if I had gotten my way. And sometimes we see God doing unexpected things that bless us. Somebody comes along and brings you a gift that you didn't expect, or pays for your dinner. We had that happen on a number of occasions. We're at a restaurant and we wait and wait for the bill, and finally the waitress comes and said, well, your bill's been paid for by someone else. And somehow those unexpected blessings that come, and we all have them. Sometimes a third way we see God at work is that unusual timing or that coincidence. Sometimes we say, how did that happen just at the right time? I've heard and had my own experiences when the bill was due and I didn't have the money, and it was time for it to be paid, and what was I going to do if I didn't have that bill paid, and I didn't know how it was going to happen. But then all of a sudden it happened. Somebody came along and said, here, I was told I should give this to you, or a check came in the mail. Sometimes the answers and the things that occur, the circumstances or the coincidences. I remember one time we had one car, and that car was in an accident and it was totaled, and so we couldn't drive it, and so we borrowed a car, and we didn't know how we were gonna get through that. Well, we prayed, and somehow, not only in a month's time, not only did we have a car that replaced that, but we had a second car that was there as well. And somehow God answered those prayers and the coincidences. And I think, how amazing that God can show up just at the right time in just the right way. A fourth way that we can see God at work is in His kingdom work, the things that are happening in the world, the blessings that are being done in God's name, and the ways that we see things happening. And as I've watched, and many of you have seen the same thing, we see the announcements in the news about the pandemic and the people that are hurting, but we also see people that are helping. And they're giving their money, or they're helping in the food line, or they're volunteering to deliver groceries. There's a woman that I read an article, and she's telling children, when you look for God, look for the helpers, the people who are Jesus with skin on, where people show up to help, where people are doing things. And so sometimes God is seen in that unexpected smile. That person who's going through the hardest time of their life, but somehow they smile through the storm. Sometimes God is there through that shoulder to cry on, or that meal that was prepared and brought to you. The friend who takes you to the doctor, or the neighbor who stops what he's doing in order to help you carry that thing into the house, or to prepare or to fix that thing that was damaged. Sometimes it's the prayers that are offered, or the love that is shown. And sometimes we see it so much in those people who believe in this, in spite of the hard circumstances. Their faith is strong, and in those hard times they continue to trust God and they continue to praise God, and we see them and we say, wow, how can you have such strong faith at a time like this? And they look and they say, God's been with me in the past, and He's with me now as well. We can see God working in His kingdom through people and through the lives of others. And sometimes His kingdom advancing, and we see missions, and we see people serving in amazing ways, and we see God's kingdom continue to grow, and we say, I can see that God is alive and at work because of the things that are happening in the lives of people. Well, God is at work. God is present. God's presence doesn't mean that we won't have any more trials. The fact that God is at work in our lives doesn't mean there won't be circumstances, that there won't be a hard time, but to know that He's there and to have experienced Him in the past and to take the time to look and see Him helps us in the future. When that tough time comes, we say, well, I remember He was here at this time. And I remember He delivered me in that situation, and I know He provided for me when there was that need and that hard time, and so why wouldn't He be in this time? He didn't bring us this far to leave us, and so we continue to trust Him, to know His face. Someday we'll see that, but for now we simply look at the effects. We look at the things that God has done, and we join those that Peter commends, those who haven't seen Him, and yet we believe in Him, and we trust Him, and we also share that inexpressible and glorious joy. Have you seen God lately? My challenge for you this week is to look for Him. Look for Him in all of those ways, in the answers to prayer, and in the ways that He unexpectedly provides for you and cares for you, in those coincidences that are obviously not a coincidence at all, but you see somebody at work. When you see God's kingdom being done, His work being done in the lives by the hands of others or in their lives by someone, then we can just say, thank You, God, for what You're doing in our lives. Let's pray together, shall we? God, as we are gathered here today, we come to testify that we serve a living Savior, that we believe in You, Lord, even though maybe we haven't seen You with our physical eyes, haven't heard You speak in our audible hearing. And yet, Lord, there are signs of Your presence all around us. There are miracles that are happening. There are prayers that are being answered. There are things that You're doing in us, Lord, that we need to stop and pay attention and to say thank You. And Lord, as we continue to have our faith tested at times, we pray, God, that as it is tested, that it will grow stronger, and that even as gold is refined, so our faith will be refined to become more and more strong and able. Lord, thank You for Your love for us and for Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunities and the challenges to look for You at work in us. And we give You praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.